Welcome and encouraged to stay with us during our worship service, but if your family or children need a separate time and space with your supervision, they can go to our family room and return to worship with us later. I'd ask you to pray with me, please. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be a delight in your sight. God, you who are our rock, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen. This is a celebration weekend. Not only here in the United States for our Independence Day holiday, and blessings upon those who are traveling and elsewhere this weekend. Hopefully they are safe and secure and be returned to us safely. But it's not just a celebration here in the U.S. If you've noticed, our neighbors to the north, Canada, is celebrating its sesquicentennial, 150 years of its founding as a nation. And it may have escaped our notice. This weekend across the ocean was another observance, the 20th anniversary of Hong Kong being returned from British governance to China, that still tenuous political experiment called One Nation and Two Systems. So there are fireworks going off around the world for all kinds of reasons. I have fond memories of the 4th of July from my childhood in western Pennsylvania. It was the perfect opportunity for our extended family to gather together at one of our homes. Often it was ours. We'd set up the picnic table, we'd put out the yard games, we would have board games as well, we would all gather, we would have hot dogs, we would have corn on the cob. Now, it wasn't corn on the cob from our garden, it was a little early because it had to be knee-high by the 4th of July. We weren't yet harvesting corn. And then after great fun together, we'd pile into our cars and go to whichever nearby local civic public fireworks were being displayed. And we'd roll out our blankets, lay down, wait until it got dusk and dark enough, and the fireworks would go off. And we would be, as small children, frightened and thrilled at the same time. As enjoyable as those 4th of July memories are, as I've grown older, celebrations of national identity bring up more mixed feelings for me than just unadulterated happiness and joy. Maybe it's because of my self-awareness of my own mixed identities. I'm a gay man. I'm also the son of a World War II veteran. I'm a lifelong American citizen, and at the bottom of it all, I am a Christian. And I recall an incident that happened a number of years ago that illustrates how those mixed identities often lead to conflicted feelings about how to act. My clergy internship during seminary began days after the attacks of 9/11. So my internship happened days after those horrific attacks. And the Sunday that followed, the Sunday of Veterans Day, which came shortly thereafter, during the worship in my internship church, the pastor invited all of those in the congregation who had served in the military or were serving in the military at that time to come forward to receive a prayer of blessing. Now, that congregation was in a city that still has a considerably large population of military personnel, and easily more than 20 or 25 women and men came forward for that blessing. And on that day, it was a beautiful and important thing to witness, blessing their commitment, because they served in very dangerous circumstances. And at that time, many years ago, those who were gay and lesbian, which were most, if not all, of those who came forward in that MCC congregation, they not only served under dangerous circumstances, they served under a don't ask, don't tell policy where they could not reveal who they really were in the military. So to publicly bless these people in worship was an important moment. And then it quickly took a turn which became very disturbing to me. The veterans and military personnel, after receiving the blessing, were invited to lead the congregation in reciting the U.S. Pledge of Allegiance. Now, I was the new clergy intern, and I was sitting on the dais, all eyes looking forward, and I was suddenly struck with a very different feeling. I knew in a worship service I did not wish to recite the Pledge of Allegiance, but I also knew that if I didn't do so and participate, it would have been seen as disrespectful, even disruptive, in that setting. So what is an intern to do in that split-second decision? You'll have to ask me afterwards what I did. I will simply say a lengthy conversation ensued in the staff meeting that week. So. I am truly grateful to be a U.S. citizen, a U.S. American. The freedoms and the opportunities that I am afforded, however tenuous and unevenly distributed they often are, just ask persons of color, ask same-sex married couples in Texas how they feel this weekend. Even still, I am grateful and thankful to be a U.S. citizen, even with our profoundly mixed moral history and our still troubled moral present. That's much like the history of Christianity, one must hasten to add. To ask a worshiping community to make a pledge of allegiance to this or any nation, among whom, in that time, in that congregation, there were a few present whom I knew not to be U.S. citizens. There were some who found it inspiring in worship. It was deeply unsettling and upsetting to me. So, like every good internship, you learn a lot of good lessons. And there are things that I have tried to do in my own way that I learned, good things. And there are a few things that I decided I would never do. And I learned that day that the Pledge of Allegiance to this or any nation will never be recited in a church sanctuary of which I am the pastor. Some, even many of you, may disagree. Maybe I take it all too seriously. I have been criticized for such. The opportunity to gather for parades, eating hot dogs, watching fireworks, maybe national anthems and flag waving are as harmless as children giving their father a precious moment statue that says, "You are the best father in the world," which is certainly an unverifiable claim in most times, but it is a real and sincere expression of love and devotion. Maybe it's nothing more than wearing your favorite team colors and cheering from the stands, "Go Beavers! Go Ducks!" Whichever one you're in. "Go Timbers! Go Thorns!" You know in whose team you're with. But what happens when those children who love their fathers start arguing and challenging one another, saying, "My dad is so great, he's going to beat up your dad"? What happens when those sporting events get called civil wars and people get hurt and crushed under rioting crowds and cities burn in flames? There is a point when devotion and joy, loyalty and fun cross the line and become dangerous. So it is with the marriage of religion and nationalism. While it is always politically expedient, it has proven to be toxic throughout history. Pick a country, Pick any country, pick a religion, pick any religion. How many horrors have been done under the chant of "For God and Country"? Maybe there's an exception, but I can't think of one, where that wedding of nationalism and religion was not disastrous. After the sermon, we're going to sing a beautiful hymn that may be familiar to some of us. The text is, "This is My Song," and it's set to a very familiar hymn tune by the Finnish composer Jean Sibelius. And the tune is "Finlandia." It was and is a celebration of Sisu, which is the national and cultural spirit of Finland. And the text that is set to that tune, when we sing it aloud, we will be reminded that ours is a God who cannot be the possession of any single nation or any single peoples, but a God of all the nations. And our hearts can beat with sincere love for our homeland, and we will affirm when we sing, other hearts in other lands are beating with hopes and dreams as high as ours. The words of that hymn were written in 1934 between the two world wars, if you recall. And it is a song and a prayer of hope, of peace among all nations and races and cultures, a hope that is yet to be realized. But it articulates a desire for a space that is allowing the sincere love for one's own homeland and the love of sister and brother in another country. For me as a person of faith, that is a space that isn't just about political correctness. It's not even about multicultural education and awareness, as important and critical as that may be in our day and age. It's an awareness that even though my passport says that I am a citizen of the United States of America with all of its attending freedoms and privileges, to steal that phrase from Paul we heard this morning, I actually have citizenship in another country. I have citizenship in another country. In the country, the kingdom, the realm of God. That is my citizenship. You know, the earliest confession or creed of Christianity was a simple statement. The earliest creed of Christianity was a simple statement: Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, we can rightly take issue with using the word Lord in our day, but we should not mistake the power of that phrase in the early centuries of Christianity. The Roman Empire, the ruling power of the world during Christianity, the Pledge of Allegiance in the Roman Empire was "Caesar is Lord." That was the Pledge of Allegiance in the Roman Empire: "Caesar is Lord." So when an early Christian proclaimed publicly and confessed that, quote, "Jesus Christ is Lord," it wasn't just an affirmation of faith, it was to publicly pledge allegiance to a different ruler. It was a declaration of independence from the empire. And it was dangerous, even seditious. It was to say that you lived by the rules of another empire and the laws of a different ruler, and your citizenship was in another country, the one in which God is in charge. So that is a really long introduction to a two-point sermon. Thanks for sticking with me. Because if one claims to be a Christian, one is de facto a dual citizen. And when those demands come into conflict, those values and demands come into conflict, which they inevitably will, if history is any indication, our choices determine and demonstrate our true citizenship over and over again. So I believe the citizenship in God's realm means two things. It means freedom and responsibility. That sounds a bit like citizenship, doesn't it? Freedom and responsibility. First, the freedom. To claim you have citizenship in heaven means that it frees you. It lessens the grip of any worldly power on your life. The claim of any group or tribe or clan or church or nation, any ruler duly elected or rising to power through any other means, their claims will always be less than, will always be smaller than God's claim. Your citizenship in heaven is a freedom, and it is a responsibility. While we may be free from those lesser claims of tribe, nation, or state, we are never free from recognizing our interconnection with sisters and brothers, all the children of God. So the rationale that that's just the way it is in our country, or I was just following the orders of someone higher up, when you affirm that the one, capital O-N-E, the one who is really in charge, you discover you have pretty clear directions, pretty clear standing orders. Love your neighbor as yourself, whether that neighbor is across the street or on the other side of an ocean. Love your neighbor as yourself. That reading from Norman Cousins speaks to it so well. I am one cell among billions. My needs are individual, but they are not unique. I am interlocked forever with others. Regardless of any fence or wall we can build, any border we can draw on a map, the air still blows, the breath of life, and the toxins we put into it wherever it will. The tides of the ocean still ebb and flow their riches and our trash to distant shores. Our holidays and our parties come and go. Our connections are forever. I recently was reminded of those connections. Just yesterday, I did a small wedding for a lovely couple. Two women from two different countries who met in a third country where they live. Interesting and beautiful and wonderful enough. And I discovered in meeting with them, a person who kind of played matchmaker for them happened to be a friend of mine from 20 years ago in Los Angeles who now lives in Japan. It was a beautiful case in point, a reminder that our lives, even globally, are interwoven in a web of connections we can barely even fathom. You know, that is why we should be reminded that the global immigrant and refugee crisis is not just political and economic, it is moral and it is religious. Hundreds of thousands of children and adults streaming from their homelands, seeking refuge and safety and life itself, because their homeland, the country for which their heart still beats, is locked in death-dealing crises. If we are citizens of the realm in which God is in charge, we are free, but we are not free from our connection, our responsibility to those children and those adults of any nation by any name. We citizens of heaven cannot show you a passport. Our citizenship is proven by our words and our actions. I began by describing a prayer blessing at the church in which I was an intern. And I recall another blessing in another congregation that I served a few years after that. there were two people in the congregation that were on their way to Iraq. One was being deployed for military service. They were in the military. The other was traveling to be a human shield for non-combatant Iraqi civilians. Both in the same congregation, both U.S. citizens, both members of the same community worshiping together on a Sunday morning. The paradox that was embodied in that moment, in that community, was a challenge and a blessing for everyone in the room. It was an important witness. I pray that our celebrations this weekend are not just a celebration of how through human effort that oppression is overthrown and freedoms are secured by one nation among the many nations in the world, but may it call us and remind us to something even bigger. May it be a declaration of independence, a freedom from the claims of ultimacy that any nation, state, or power by humans can place upon us. And may it be a declaration of interdependence, that deep and eternal connectedness that is possible when you choose your citizenship in the realm of God. Please pray with me. God, in our joy or celebration, even if mixed with concern, we ask that you remind us always of your call to love one another, to love our neighbors as ourselves. God, we ask that we learn from one another, whether we speak the same language or look the same or act the same or believe the same. Continue to instruct us in the ways of being citizens in your country. In your holy name we pray. Amen.